You're listening to the Beauty Brains Show, where real scientists answer your beauty questions. And now, here's Randy and Perry.
Hello, this is Perry.
And this is Randy.
And you're listening to the Beauty Brains, the number one science and beauty show by a cosmetic chemist.
How many are there exactly?
Well, I think we're the first one. maybe Colin has done a few podcasts.
Number one, we're number one in the U.S. If you keep adding enough disclaimers to any claim, you can be the number one something, right? So
that's true. Well, we are number one. Actually, I saw this. There's another online course which teaches you how to make natural cosmetics, and they call themselves the number one source for formulating natural cosmetics. But they do that same thing. They qualify their claim, so it gets so narrow that, you know, it still sounds impressive, though.
Right? Is this just your sort of backdoor way of promoting your natural cosmetics course that you do through that other website whose name I shall not mention?
You mean chemistcorner.com? No, I was just pointing it out.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to edit all this out anyway, so.
That's right. And a fine job of editing that you do.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, we got a big show today. We're answering questions.
That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, every so often, you listeners will send in questions, and audio questions are our favorite. And if you have a beauty question, you can just actually email to us, right? You just record it on your smartphone.
Right.
And then email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com, and you can get your question answered right here on the show.
That's an important point, because we did stop accepting questions by Morse code. So you do need to use some sort of smart device to record.
There was a huge backlash when we did that, too. It's just unbelievable. So we got the questions today, but first we've got our game that you put together.
Oh, right? Yeah. We're going to try and kick your butt in another game of improbable products.
Oh, we love improbable products. Now, do we have a guest today, or are we going to play with chance?
We're going to break chance out once again. So you need to prepare your deck of cards. Longtime listeners will remember that chance is Perry's meager attempt at having someone to play along with. So he uses a game of a deck of cards to generate a random number to guess one of the answers.
Yeah, and actually, usually we have we've been having listeners or people we know join along in the game, but today we're going to go back to chance.
All right, here we go. Well, today's game for you and chance has a spa theme to it.
Oh, all right.
So let us begin. I read an article about six crazy spa treatments. But they just quite weren't crazy enough, so I had to make up another one. And you and Chance have to guess which one is the fake.
All right,
here we go.
Sounds good.
All right, number one, the chicken soup sauna. One spa chain in the southern U.S. will soak you in warm chicken soup, which is rich in fats and proteins that nourish the skin. Number two, the fire facial. This Chinese treatment uses a cool-burning alcohol flame to stimulate skin and fight signs of aging. And thirdly, we have the butter bath. In Ethiopian spas, women moisturize skin by rubbing butter all over your body and then melting it away with smoke. So,
wow.
Which of those three wonderful treatments is not really all that wonderful?
Well, if that butter one you said melted it away with popcorn, I might have fell for that. All right. Well, these all sound like plausible things you might find in a spa. But I think the fire facial one, that sounds like something, sounds crazy, but it sounds like something someone would do. I know you at restaurants you have the flame.
Oh, sure. It's like Greek food,
right?
Yeah, sukiyaki, right, or something.
Right.
What is that?
I'm sure one of our listeners will write in and tell us what that is.
I can't even remember
what
that is. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
We're such a diner connoisseurs, right?
Yeah.
All right, it's between the butter bath and the chicken soup. But I think your proclivity for chicken soup makes me think that one is the fake. So I'm thinking it's the chicken soup. Now let's go to Chance.
Okay.
See what Chance has to say.
What was that? You're using the die today, not the cards?
I actually am using three pieces of paper, which have numbers on them. I throw them in the air, and then I let gravity pull them down, and the one that's closest to me that falls is the one that chance decides.
So we're the only gravity-powered cosmetic science podcast in the world. Okay, go ahead.
It's the power of entropy. Catch it. All right, Chance seems to say that the butter one is the fake.
Okay, very good. So let's go through the answers. So you and Chance agree that the fire facial is a real thing. I can't believe you think that's real, but it is real. It is a Chinese treatment, which apparently they combine, you know, your typical skin soothing ingredients. But then it says they also use alcohol and a match. So somehow they light this, and for a few seconds they wave the flame next to your face, and apparently that's supposed to stimulate the skin, if you believe this Chinese treatment. But it is a real treatment.
There you go.
All right.
Of course, just because something is real doesn't mean it really works.
Yeah, exactly. We're not vouching for the efficacy of it. We're just saying people really do this. Okay, second one. The butter bath is true. So Chance was mistaken this time out. And this does come to us from Ethiopia, where apparently they cover you with a large cloak, and then they perch you on this like toilet seat that has a fire burning underneath, and then the smoke from the fire, you know, melts the butter off. And according to the article, it supposedly tightens female genitalia. What? So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, you got that going for you. All right, and so what all this means is that the chicken soup sauna is indeed fake. I don't know why'd you say I have a proclivity for chicken soup? I'm more of a creamy tomato kind of guy. I don't know where you get that.
I think I recall an earlier game like this where the answer was chicken soup.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what though, if this was a real treatment, I think it would involve using crackers as an exfoliating sponge.
That's not bad. I think that's a new beauty line right there. That's not bad.
Well done, and I grudgingly grant you this victory. Well done, Mr. Romanowski.
Ah, finally. Well, Randy, you know what we have coming up on the show today?
Yeah.
We have questions, sure. And we're going to get to, we've got questions about skin bleaching and whether that's safe. Ah. We've got questions about whether a hoof maker for horses is good for your own fingernails.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fascinating. And then we're going to look at one of the latest anti-aging miracles, or not, Hexanol. Oh. So we've got a few questions lined up.
Do we have answers to those questions? Or
that's a good point. Because in our, you know, in our opening monologue, it's Beauty Brains where we answer your beauty questions.
Gotcha.
So,
right.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, we will do that. But before we get to that, you know, one of the things that we really appreciate from listeners is when they give us feedback about the show, and particularly feedback on iTunes.
Yes.
Because what happens is when you give an iTunes review, that helps improve your rankings in iTunes, and it helps other people find the show. So whenever we have iTunes reviews, we always like to have people... we read them on the show and give people credit.
A little shout out
for that.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
exactly. So we've got a couple. Randy, why don't you read the first one?
Yeah, we have a pithy review from ABCFG who says the show is informative, funny, and relevant. I don't think we've ever been called relevant before. I kind of like that.
I know. I love being relevant. Well, we got Kubla Khan says, I love their nerdy, scientific, non-biased way of explaining the good and the bad of beauty products. They obviously have a firm grasp on statistical analysis, data analysis, and obviously chemistry. Despite all the hard science, they're easy to understand and even funny. I'm a much wiser and selective consumer now that I can better spot the marketing traps and the beauty companies use us to milk of our money. Boy, clearly I can't even read.
You have a firm grasp on everything except the grammar part. That I think that's eluding
exactly.
You.
I've got to start re-listening to the Grammar Girl podcast, which to help me.
All right. Well, thank you guys for those reviews. Like Perry said, we really do appreciate it. So just take a couple of seconds of your time, go to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, and just write a short review for us. Thank you so much.
All right, shall we get to the meat of the program, the questions?
All right, let's do it. I guess I'll tell you what. I'll play the first question because we have an audio question, which is another thing that we love, and then you can answer that one. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, this one comes to us from Sarah.
Hey, Beauty Brains, this is Sarah. I have some questions about Dr. Verone's skin bleaching system. It's a three-step system whose claims boast that it's 91% effective in removing discoloration spots from the skin, and it's a three-step system. In one of the steps, the active ingredient is 2% hydroquinone. I've read some reviews online, and they said that the product is not that safe. However, I've used it a few times, and I did see some improvement. Just trying to see if this is something I should continue using, or if it's not worth it. I value your opinion, and I appreciate your advice, and I love your show. Thank you.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for that question. First, let's talk about skin bleaching actives. Hydroquinone, like many other actives, it's a phenolic compound. That means it contains a 6-carbon ring with an OH group attached. This structure allows it to inhibit melanin synthesis. The color of your skin is a result of the melanin produced by your skin cells.
That's the pigment. And so, yeah.
Exactly. And so you put an ingredient on your skin, which eventually has to get down to where that melanin is being produced. And it inhibits the synthesis of new melanin. And based on the research we've seen, nothing works better than hydroquinone. Yeah. It's considered the gold standard, really, for skin lightening. Now, you can find more details of this if you go back and check out our episode 35.
Yeah, we've talked about all sorts of skin lightening actives.
So the question is hydroquinone safe? Now, there have been studies that raised cancer concerns, but they were based on oral or injected applications, and there have been no clinical studies or cases of skin cancer related to topical hydroquinone use. Yeah. Therefore, the International Agency for Research on Cancer considers hydroquinone as not classifiable as to its carcinogenicity in humans. Mm-hmm. It can, however, cause a skin discoloring condition known as ochronosis, and that's one of the reasons that the regulatory bodies in other countries have banned hydroquinone for over-the-counter use.
You know, that's a huge point. We get that question a lot as well. They said, well, if it's safe, why do other countries ban it? Well, it's just banned for over-the-counter use. It's allowed in prescription products.
Right. So you can get it. Now, so what about Dr. Verone's product? We were intrigued when we read about this skin bleaching system, which claims to be the first and only skincare system to remove blemishes and dark discolorations from skin. Now, it's inconceivable how they can make such a claim, since hydroquinone is an over-the-counter drug, which makes me very suspicious.
Well, that makes no sense. Like, we talked about at the top of the show how you can define your claim in such a way that you can always be the first or the only or whatever.
Right.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is maybe there are no other kits on the market I know you're going to talk about the products, but there's three different products in this system. So maybe they're the only product that uses three different things. So that's how they say they're the first and only. But that's ridiculous.
Maybe because they call it the skincare system,
yeah,
right? You put that word system.
I guess. I don't know.
It does seem pretty ridiculous. Anyway, the system actually includes three products. There is the brightening lotion, which you use first. Mm-hmm. Then there's the dermal treatment, which you use second. And then the third thing you use is this liquid microdermabrasion. Yeah. Now, in the show notes, we'll put the ingredient list.
Yeah.
The system costs about $20, which isn't too bad until you realize you only get 1-ounce tube of each product. But you don't use them up at the same rate. You know, you're supposed to use the brightening lotion twice per day. The dermal treatment you use once a day. And the liquid microderm product you use 2 to 3 times a week. So very quickly, you'll run out of the main product and you'll have to buy the entire kit again to get more.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably better off buying another 2% hydroquinone cream and then using other products.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a a proven drug active. And if you buy it, any product that uses the 2%, which is kind of the minimum amount you'll see, it should work just as well. There's nothing magical about this. And if you do want to exfoliate, which apparently is what that third step does, that liquid dermabrasion. You could use any exfoliation, you know, exfoliating product for that. So it seems like tying you into this system, you're going to end up with, you know, you've used up all of the number one, and you've got plenty of number three left, and you got to buy another kit, so you get more of, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem like the way to go to me.
So the question is it safe? I'm going to say yes, aside from some of the concerns that we've discussed, but as far as whether it's safe or not, you know, the FDA hasn't stopped it from being used in over-the-counter. Europe still allows it to be used under certain circumstances, but as far as safety goes, I would say it's safe. Is it the best product you can buy? Probably not. You could probably save money and get products that work just as well.
Yeah, it gives you more flexibility that way. All right, here's another audio question, and this one comes to us from Kim.
Hi, Randy and Perry. This is Kim from Pflugerville, and I am calling or sending you a voice message because I have a question about a product called Hoofmaker. Hoofmaker, if you're not familiar with it, is a kind of a lotion that people who have horses put on their horses' hooves to make them stronger. But for several years, for quite some time, it has also been marketed to women because the sort of myth is that horse women, women who ride horses have really great nails because they use Hoofmaker on their horses' hooves. And I've actually tried it, and it actually really does work. I have extremely naturally brittle and weak nails, but I have found that when I apply Hoofmaker to them in my cuticles, kind of rub it in and let it soak in there, my nails get much, much better. But I'm curious, because I really am wondering, what is it that makes it work? I mean, is it that my fingernail is getting more moisturized and therefore it's a little more pliable and it's less brittle and it has a chance to grow? Or is there actually something in Hoofmaker, you know, beyond the marketing stuff that they say, is there something, what is it in the Hoofmaker that is specifically better for a nail? I don't know if that's true. So I'm asking, you know, what's the deal about Hoofmaker? What makes it work? Because it really does actually work very well. And if it's just that it moisturizes the nail, is there another product I could use besides having to purchase Hoofmaker? Because I'm not crazy about the scent of it, and I just want some other options.
Thanks for the question, Kim. You know, I checked out the website for Hoofmaker, and this is from the same company that makes Mane and Tail, and I think we talked about that. I know we've written about it on the blog before. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show.
Remember, that was back in the mid-90s, Mane and Tail was all the
rage. Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, we as a shampoo company, our marketing people would come, and Mane and Tail just took off, and they're like, what's in this horse shampoo that's making everybody want to buy it?
Not much.
It was a total marketing position that just sort of, for whatever reason, struck a chord with consumers. But the product, there was nothing special about the product.
Yeah. Well, and the theme with this Hoofmaker product, it's the same basic idea, right? It goes something like this. Hey, we originally made these products to take care of horses, but amazingly, people put them on their hair and skin and found out they're incredible, you know? So, okay, great. I mean, it's a great backstory. And, you know, but when you look at the specific claims that they're making for this Hoofmaker product, it really doesn't seem that remarkable. So let me quote you some things from their website. They say, now you can discover the mystery behind luxuriously soft skin and beautiful nails. The exclusive combination of intensive protein-enriched ingredients enables your hands and body to achieve a natural feel while moisturizing dry and cracked skin, originally developed for horses, blah, 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 blah. So you get the idea.
Right.
The specific claims are, you know, pretty generic, though. It says it moisturizes dry, cracked skin on hands, fortifies nails and protects them from damage, softens and conditions, restores vital nutrients. The most outrageous thing they say is it's the product is, quote, a manicure and pedicure in a bottle. Well, you know, obviously that's just some poetic license.
Right. Did they write pedicure, like pet?
Are horses really pets?
I think some people have pet horses.
I'm not sure it works that way. But anyway, so I took a...
Hey, listeners out there, if you have a pet horse, you write in and put it in the comments, because I think Randy doesn't think people have pet horses.
Really? Like, your call to action is to have people write in and tell us about their pets. That's the best you can do.
I'm just calling you out, saying that nobody has a pet horse. I think people have pet horses.
All right. Well, I took a look at the ingredients, you know, and I expected this to be just another typical skin lotion. But I was surprised to find they actually use some fairly unconventional ingredients. Now, in a standard moisturizer, you'd expect to find occlusive agents, you know, like petrolatum or mineral oil. And these are things that, you know, seal the skin and prevent moisture from evaporating. And then you'd find some hydrating agents like glycerin or, you know, hyaluronic acid or some other humectant. Now, this product doesn't use any of those occlusive agents. Its main ingredient is a chloride quad. It uses diastereal dimonium chloride. Now,
which you find in hair conditioners,
you
right?
do, yeah. And you yeah. do you find that in some skin products, which I'll get to in a second. But, you know, I mean, this approach does sort of make sense because the product really is designed more for nails, even though they do talk about it moisturizing skin. And, you know, skin is a little different than nails because you can hydrate skin by locking moisture in. It doesn't really work the same way with nails. You know, I've seen this diastereal dimonium chloride used before because it has a positive charge and it can stick to skin.
Right.
So that's kind of the big difference. The second thing is the product does appear to contain a pretty good percentage of glycerin, which should help bind moisture to the nail. So that makes sense.
Sure.
Coconut oil is also high on the ingredient list. And we know that coconut oil is good for hair because it can penetrate into the cortex. You know, I've never seen any data showing that it can penetrate into the keratin, you know, of the nail bed. It's an interesting approach. I wouldn't be surprised if it works.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it contains a lactate salt, which is good for nails in the same way that lactic acid is good to moisturize nails. So the only thing that seems to be missing that would make this product even better, at least in my opinion, is some form of urea, because we know urea is one of the compounds that's naturally found in your nail that helps it hold on to moisture. So you will see urea used in moisturizing products as well. So, you know, all things considered, this does seem to be substantially different than a typical skin lotion. You know, but Kim asked how she could find similar products because she didn't care for the scent of this one. So, you know, I did a quick search and found a couple of other products that do use diastereal dimonium chloride as one of the primary ingredients. And in particular, I found Curel's Youth Defense Moisture Lotion. I'm not completely sure if this one is still sold. It may be going out of stock, but at least as of now, I think it's still available. And then also the Gold Bond Ultimate Restoring Skin Therapy Lotion has a similar formula. And that one does include a urea ingredient, so you may find that one works even better. So, Kim, if you're looking for products that are similar to Hoofmaker, that, you know, have a different scent and who knows, may even work a little better for you, I would recommend trying those two. And I'll put the products with their ingredient list in the show notes for you guys.
And if you're the hoof maker maker, Randy suggests you put urea in your product. We on occasional do formulation consulting work, so feel free.
Yeah, I typically like to charge when I do that, though. Thanks for giving that away for free.
Ah, darn. We just haven't figured out how to monetize this effort here, have we? All right, we have another question coming up. Another audio question?
No, you got to read this one manually, if that makes sense.
Well, you know what? We appreciate questions in all forms, although the audio ones means that you as a listener get to hear different voices,
right.
Which is
that's a bonus.
Probably good. All right, this one comes from Priyasha, and mm-hmm. she says, I was curious about this hexanol technology range from the ROC brand or the ROC brand mm-hmm. that they've been marketing. They say it's a brand new anti-aging technology they discovered. So what exactly is hexanol technology? And is it really just a silly anti-aging ingredient gimmick or is there something substantial there? That's great. Great question. Here's some of the info from the website for ROC.
Is it? Do you say ROC or is it ROC? I don't even know what does that stand for.
I've heard people say ROC.
Is it
ROC? Right?
Okay, I don't know.
But yeah. ROC, it could be either way, I guess. Right? What does it stand for? I'm not really sure. anti-aging products.
ROC stands for anti-aging products. No, it would be an acronym. It would be like. Real, I don't even know what
restaurant restaurant opportunity centers.
I'm sorry. Continue.
No problem. So it's ROC Skincare, which incidentally owned by the big guys over there, J&J, the baby shampoo.
And that stands for Johnson & Johnson. That one I know.
You come here to get all your acronyms answered. So here on their link on their website, they have a quote here. It says, after 7 years of research, rock skincare scientists discovered a molecule that would impact signs of aging skin. This was the birth of Hexanol technology. It targets skin concerns associated with aging in a different way than other anti-aging ingredients. Hmm. Here are some of the specific claims they make. So they say it restores elasticity and firmness of the skin, I'm assuming. Yeah. it improves radiance. It hydrates dry skin. It smooths the look of fine lines and wrinkles and lightens the look of discoloration.
Hmm.
So even though they say that Hexanol works in a different way than other anti-aging ingredients, these are pretty standard claims.
It sounds like, you know, every other anti-aging ingredient.
Yeah, pretty much, right? We reviewed the ingredient list for a couple of the rock products and found that Hexanol is really just their trademark name for the ingredient Hexyl Resorcinol.
You know, by the way, the scientists over at J&J must have hated it when the marketing team came up with that name, right? Because first of all, Hexanol sounds almost exactly like hexanol, which is a different chemical, right? That's the alcohol made from hexane. And that has nothing to do with anti-aging. So that's just got a grate on you as a scientist to have to go out and market that, you know, that made-up name. And then secondly, the hex prefix makes it sound like it's magic, which I don't think is good. So,
right, and really, is a hex good magic? I don't know. So anyway, what the heck is this Hexyl Resorcinol? You might be familiar with it because it's been used for a long time as an antiseptic in products like mouthwashes and throat lozenges. But recently, it's been shown to have skin-lightening properties.
Yeah,
incidentally, if my voice sounds a little scratchy, it's because I do have a little throat thing here, and I've been using a spray of Hexyl Resorcinol.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you feel better. You know, we just talked about hydroquinone as a skin-lightening ingredient. I think this is one of the most recent ingredients that's trying to, you know, claim to be a replacement for hydroquinone.
Oh, right. Exactly. I don't know if HR was discovered by J&J because other companies use this stuff, you know, most notably Clarins. Mm-hmm. It's also sold by a company named Cytheon, and I don't believe there's anything proprietary about it.
Yes, so Cytheon is the raw material supplier for this stuff. So any company can buy this, as far as I know, and use it in their formulas.
Yeah, their trade name is Synovia HR, and their website does document 3 clinical tests that indicate the molecule has anti-aging properties. Mm-hmm. Now, first, in vitro testing shows that HR inhibits the production of melanin. However, the test didn't compare it to anything, so, you know, it's tough to know what that really means.
How does that reduction compare to the gold standard?
Exactly. Second, another in vitro test measured inhibition of the enzymes that convert tyrosine to melanin. This was done against other proven skin lightening actives, and the results showed that the HR is better than hydroquinone, licorice, and kojic acid. Hmm. We did a whole show on skin lightening, so you can go back in our archives and check
episode
that out.
35.
Now, third, they have a third study, and this is a human clinical study comparing HR at 0.5% to hydroquinone at 2%.
By the way, when did you decide to abbreviate Hexyl Resorcinol? It's just now it's HR. Could be human resources.
It could be, but with all that acronym talk at the beginning of this segment, I thought I'd just go with that. I got tired of, quite frankly, I got tired of tripping over Hydro Resorcinol every time. So anyway, this test measured HR versus hydroquinone, and the test measured two kinds of results. The first result showed a higher ITA, which stands for individual
Seriously, this is like the all acronym show. This is ridiculous. Nobody's gonna follow this.
All right. So the first result showed the higher individual topography angle. And so essentially a higher ITA indicates better skin brightening, right? Hydro Resorcinol showed an improvement that's equivalent to hydroquinone, but since it took about 0.5% HR to get the same effect as 2% HQ, they get to claim that HR is 4 times
more
effective.
Well, hang on.
Right?
This is screwy, right? Because this was one of the big claims that the supplier makes, that it's 4 times more effective, I guess is their verbiage. Wouldn't you think that means it works four times better, that it would lighten skin four times as much? I mean, that would be my takeaway from that claim.
I think that's what consumers would take away from that claim. But from a math standpoint, you can see, like a lawyerly standpoint, which is the way a lot of these claims are made, you could see how that would be supportable.
So they're saying it really just works as well as hydroquinone, but you can use four times less. So therefore, that's how you get to that claim. Right. Yeah, that's kind of shady. Right.
Yeah. Anyway. It seems to me like if you really wanted to prove that four times, why don't you use the same amount and demonstrate the difference, mm-hmm. right? There's probably a reason they didn't do that.
Yeah, because it doesn't work any better.
Right. Now, the second result was labeled simply as the percent improvement in skin brightening, which doesn't really tell us anything about how the test was done. But in any event, the Hydro Resorcinol did just about as well as hydroquinone. Yeah. So what's the bottom line about HR? It appears to be a promising ingredient, but we haven't seen enough evidence to suggest that it's better than other proven alternatives. And if you're looking for something new to try and you don't mind the price, then I don't see any reason not to give Hexanol a chance. I should also say that this technology comes from J&J, which is, you know, they're a pharmaceutical company. Yeah. So if anything really has a chance of actually having some data behind it, I'd have more faith in a company like this than, say, a small company that just came up with a name for a technology.
Oh, for sure. I'm still a little confused, though, whether they, you know, because they said something about after doing 7 years of research, they came up with this. I don't know if that's just the time it took to develop a formula around Hexyl Resorcinol, or whether they did some basic research in the molecule, because it is sold by a supplier to the industry. So, and you know, as we said, it's used in other products. So that seemed a little confusing to me. What is really the proprietary piece here for J&J in their product line versus buying it from Clarins or anybody else? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's tough to know in the cosmetic industry.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks. Thank you guys for those questions, and please submit more audio questions to us. As Perry said, we love to hear other voices on the show. Hey, before we sign off for today, though, Perry, I know one of your favorite features of the show is to share your little book club, what you've been reading lately. Do you have anything for us today?
What is Perry reading? Actually, you know, Randy, I'm a big fan of magic. You know, I do little magic tricks and stuff. It's been a hobby of mine since college.
Hexanol. Okay, got it.
I've also, I'm a big fan of neuroscience, right? The science of the brain and whether you have free will and tricks of your brain.
Okay.
Well, I just picked up a book called Slice of Mind by Susan Martinez Conde. And it was an excellent book, which was an intersection of neuroscience and magic. Uh-huh. So she goes through and explains magic tricks. So she'll go through a magic trick and then explain what's going on in your brain that makes you fooled by that.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's a fascinating book, and it goes through all like the classic tricks, making a coin disappear, and how that actually you actually see a coin that goes in the air when you don't actually see it because of a residual thing in your mind. So it's very, very cool.
Did she talk about how David Copperfield vanished the Statue of Liberty? I wanted to hear about that.
There is talk of vanishes just like that. Oh, yeah. And now the book goes through, and they say if you just want to learn the neuroscience but you don't want to be spoiled with the trick, they give spoiler alerts through the whole thing.
Nice.
So it was a fascinating book, but you know why I was able to read it in 2 days?
Oh, that's because you're that Evelyn Woods speed reading course you took.
No, not at all. It's because it was an audiobook, and I was out there listening to the audiobook when I was raking leaves, when I was running, and I love audiobooks, and it turns out that you can get Slice of Mind, or even our own book, The Beauty Aisle Insider.
And other answers to questions you're dying to know.
No. Well, and you can get most any other book through audible.com, and we've actually teamed up with Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/thebeautybrains, you can get a 30-day trial. When you sign up for a 30-day trial, you get a free audiobook. And it's great. You can cancel anytime, but you get to keep that free audiobook. So if you want to help support the show, get some great books to listen to, go to audibletrial.com/beautybrains today.
And with your permission, I'll put that link in the show notes.
Oh, well, thank you very much. All right. I guess that brings us to the end of today's show, huh?
Yeah. So we want to remind everybody to follow us on social media, blah, blah, blah. You know how that whole thing goes. And we'll be back next week. I think next time we'll do some beauty science news stories for you guys. How's that sound?
Yeah, that always goes over very well, and it's always fun for us.
And it's an easy show to write. All right. Well, on that note, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. And until then, remember, be brainy about your beauty.